In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was looking over the readings for this week and the reading for Luke with the short version of the Lord's Prayer, something reminded me of a slightly different version of the Lord's Prayer I read in a book a few years ago. It went something like this. Our Father, give us this day our daily flour, yeast, water, niacin, thiamine mononitrate, riboflavin, folic acid, wheat, gluten, salt, calcium propionate, calcium sulfate, diacetyl tartaric esters of monoglycerides, ascorbic acid, and enzymes. And forgive us for calling it bread. Now, I'm not here to beat up on processed foods. I love the convenience of processed foods. I love the fact that I can go to the market this afternoon, select from one of 30 varieties of bread, take it home, put it in the cupboard, enjoy it, and know that it won't go moldy by tomorrow morning. I know that tomorrow morning I don't have to get up, take my grain to the mill to get it turned into flour, bring it home, mix it up, do all that other stuff, bake it before I can have breakfast. In fact, romantic though it sometimes seems, I like the fact that I don't have to go to the baker's every morning to get started. The conveniences of modern life are great. But there's a price that comes out of that. Modern day life, like modern day everything else, like modern day bread, is complex. You have full disclosure on the side of that packet of bread of what's in there. You have no idea how to make it. Modern day bread is complex. Modern day everything else is complex. And it's not just the goods and services that surround us. It's life itself. Our institutions, both public and private, seem complex and difficult to understand. Our world, growing increasingly interconnected, seems complex and difficult to understand. Our economy and our financial systems seem ever more complex and difficult to understand. The more we progress, the more complex things become, the less and less we seem to understand. And when problems arise, we feel we're out of control. We love our smartphones, even if we don't really know who's listening in on what we're doing. We love our modern automobiles, even though nowadays we can't fix them ourselves. And we love our modern foodstuffs, even though we can't make them ourselves. And we love our instant, unfiltered access to news from around the world, even though it brings us news of tragedies in Santa Clarita or Munich or Kabul. And the big side effect of all this complexity is that it's stressful. It's stressful in an insidious way. We don't understand things. How do we know that we're safe? We've evolved a very simple mechanism for staying safe. We have a limbic system that says, there's a big fierce animal over there. I better run or fight it. And that mechanism has served us well for thousands and thousands of years. But the modern world, this modern world of complex international relationships and globalization, of complex trade finances, smart and unfathomable technology, what do we know is the next threat? We don't. And that's the problem. So instead of being able to truly relax, there are no big fierce animals here in the church this morning, we tend to stew away in this simmering pot of low-level anxiety and worry, not sure what the next thing is that's going to come our way through our instantaneous news challenges. So who hasn't had those moments when they just yearn to go back to simpler times? I personally, at least once a week, think it would be really nice to go to Pennsylvania and sign up for an Amish community. As long as I can keep my phone, my car, and my sliced bread. But the truth is that most of us are not going to give up on the modern world. If we had, maybe we would be in the chapel of a monastery or a convent this morning and not here in this church for just an hour. And when this hour is over, we shall leave and we shall go back into the modern world outside of these walls. So what can we take from here today that not only would help us cope with the modern world and the stresses of modern living and uncertainty and complexity, but empower us to engage in that world as Christians, to go out and make the modern world with all its troubles a little better, a little closer to God's will being done on earth? Well, we could start by taking Paul's advice from his letter to the Colossians that we heard this morning. Paul writes, "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." What a blessing this would be, not just to ourselves, but to everyone around us, if we could pull this off. Let's take a minute and picture the things we'll be doing and the people that we will meet this coming week. Let's think about this afternoon, the coming work week, the mornings, the days, the evenings, and into next Saturday. What does that week look like? And now let's imagine we did the same week, but we kept that week rooted in faith and abounding in thanksgiving. What would that look like? How would that be different? Paul paints a picture of this life rooted with two kind of very separate things. On one hand, we have this phrase, a life rooted, and on the other hand, we have this phrase, abounding with thanksgiving. They feel somewhat opposed to each other. If we were truly rooted, we might imagine ourselves as being immovable, stuck almost. But if we were truly abounding with thanksgiving, we might imagine ourselves dancing around wildly with joy. So how can we be both? Well, we have to be both. We can't live our lives rooted in one spot. If we do that, we head down a path that leads us to a life that's too rigid, too unable to deal with the winds of change, too rooted in the shoulds and should nots, and being unable to move, even more fearful of change and the unknown. Our lives become small and still, unyielding, rules-based, and all too vulnerable to others. Again, in Paul's words, we become open to others, taking us captive through philosophy and empty deceit, or condemning us in matters of food and drink, or of the observing festivals or new moons or Sabbaths. On the other hand, if we turn to abounding with thanksgiving only, we can't live our lives just dancing around wildly. We're supposed to be disciples. we're supposed to follow Christ, and follow does imply some kind of direction towards God, not just simply gyrating around aimlessly. So we need to be rooted, but we need to be free, firmly rooted in Christ, yet dynamically abounding with thanksgiving. So perhaps we can picture this life and picture ourselves as a large, beautiful tree, firmly rooted in the ground, yet moving freely in the wind. Like a tree, we can be strong two ways. Strong because we are firmly rooted to the ground of God's love. And strong because we can simply react to the winds of life by staying abounding in thanksgiving and simply letting our branches sway before letting the wind move on. Imagine that. Could we live our lives this week, this coming month, this lifetime like that, like a great tree, rooted in faith, yet joyfully abounding with thanksgiving? Today's version of the Lord's Prayer from Luke points us in that direction. We're taught to pray by Jesus, and in this simple version in Luke, the more normal one we think about is the one in Matthew, breaks this down very clearly into just five simple petitions. The first is, we recognize God as the source of all things holy and good. That is our rootedness. Next, we ask for two things, the coming of the kingdom and our daily bread. Two things that are massively different in scale, a loaf of bread and the coming of the kingdom. But that should remind us that all things, both great and small, come from God. And that too roots us, but it is for something which we should be abounding in thanksgiving. And then the Lord's Prayer ends with two final petitions, that we be forgiven and forgive in turn, and that we are delivered from temptation. Now, two things for which we should be eternally thankful and abounding in thanksgiving. So here in the Lord's Prayer, in these few short words from Paul, are the keys to a life rooted in faith and thanksgiving. We only have to ask, and it will be given, as Jesus goes on to say. God's love, God's abundance knows no bounds. We simply have to ask. As Jesus says at the end of today's reading, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So let us ask, and let us pray, and let us become ever more rooted in our faith, ever more abounding in our thanksgiving, ever more strong when faced with the complexities of modern life, and ever more willing to bring God's kingdom, God's love, here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.